Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast. In this podcast, your host, Lori Amin, will interview published authors to chat about their work, journey to getting published, and their book recommendations. If you share a passion for books and always looking for your next read, then join us. Hi, Adriana. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast.
Hi, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
So excited to have you here. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I am a reader and a writer of romance in that order. I always say I'm a reader well before I'm a writer. And I am a mom to four teenage boys. So that's fun.
Oh my gosh.
And I am married to my high school sweetheart. We actually started dating when I was 14. Oh. So we are getting ready to have our 19th wedding anniversary this year. So that's exciting.
Oh my God, that's exciting.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And how long have you been together? So, because I don't think you got married for 14. So
we will be married. Well, we'll be married for 19 years, but I think this will be in May. I will have dated my husband for 26 years.
Oh my gosh. That's crazy.
It's a long time, I'm telling you.
It is a long time. It's a whole generation. You know?
It totally is. It totally is.
But that's so amazing. I love this. And so talk to us about your romance journey. When did you start reading romance? And did you always want to write happily ever afters?
I have always read romance. I've kind of, you know, sort of ebbed and flowed through the romance genre in my, you know, through my years of reading. I've loved books since I can pick up a book. My grandfather used to read me books when I was a toddler, but my grandfather, I didn't realize until just recently, he couldn't really read. And so he would sort of just tell me the story. So every childhood, you know, nursery rhyme or story that I know is not the way that it goes. It was just sort of the way that he told it to me. But I started reading romance. I think my first romance was a Danielle Steele book, like in sixth or seventh grade. It was my grandmother's. And I've kind of went in and out of it my whole life. And I've always just really loved it. And I wanted to be a writer when I was like in third grade. Mm-hmm. And then I wanted to be, you know, 86 other things. And so I sort of just kind of came back to it really with 50 Shades of Grey, along with, like, you know, the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like 50 Shades it shifted the conversation. I think there's certain books or seminal books that shifted the conversation and open up the genre. And I feel like 50 Shades did open up the genre. And so many, I think within the indie publishing explosion of it, like all these different awesome authors came out of it, which is amazing. So
it really opened it back up to me in a new way. I think before then I always read romance, but it was very mature, you know, very kind of more, you know, cleaner, traditional sort of books that you would find at the library. But 50 Shades of Grey just opened my mind to all the things that were possible and a whole new, you know, host of authors and stories, and really kind of, you know, whetted my whistle about maybe writing my own book eventually. But about that. The happily ever afters, yeah, I always want to write a happily ever after. It's really important to me in my writing to make people feel good and to give them a reason to smile. I feel like if you want to be angry or upset or depressed or sad, you can turn the TV on and you get it. And so I want to be a place where people can go and feel safe and feel like there's hope in the world and there's hope for them and, you know, just kind of get away from all of the noise that we hear all the time. But I don't always think that happily ever afters necessarily look like a marriage with a white picket fence and 2.5 kids and a dog. Like, I think sometimes people can, you know, are happy. They choose to be happy in different sort of situations. And so my happily ever afters don't always include, you know, an engagement or a marriage or a baby. But I think that's important too, to make everyone, you know, to sort of represent everyone in a way.
I love this. Yeah. I love the fact that it doesn't have to be just a marriage and like the end result or the baby. Like, I love when romance ends with like, we got a dog together. You're like, oh, like, you know, you're like, we got a plan together. Like, we did something, or we decide we're going to live together. We're not going to get married. You know, like there's nothing wrong with just having like unconventional happy actors. I think as long as you're happy at the end, it's just that's what it's all about.
For sure. And I think especially now, and I sort of wonder, you know, if maybe this wasn't always the case, but we sort of accept it now more. Mm-hmm. But I don't even think that what we sort of as society would brand happily ever after, mm-hmm. I wonder if that's not the abnormal situation. Yes. Like, more people are happy in other situations than, you know, marriage, baby, you know, all of those things, which is fine. I mean, that's, I'm married and I have 4 kids and a couple of dogs. And so that's my reality, but I'm well aware that that's not for possibly mm-hmm. the majority of people. So I think that it's just important to me to show that you can be happy. And if people are struggling out there and they're not necessarily finding their soulmate for a long time, or they're afraid to jump into marriage, that's cool. You can be mm-hmm. happy too.
Yes, you can be happy too. And yeah, and I think it's just like, I love romance because it gives you a sense of like an ending. It's not the happily we're after the end. It's the ending that you know that you're going to be fine. Like, you're going to be okay. We're not going to kill you. And that's what I love about romance. It's not about like they have to come together to have babies and all this stuff. Like, I'm not married. I'm probably a spinster and I'm fine with it. Like, I actually like my life the way it is. And so, but I like the fact that I get to see other people being happy, you know, however they choose to be. You know, as opposed to being like, well, this is what every book ends this way, or this is what society tells you you need to do to be happy. Like, there's opportunities for you to be happy in different ways of forms.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's one of the reasons why I love to read. Mm-hmm. You could just, you know, to feel the happiness and to be happy for other people. I always say, I really like, there's a huge part of me, I always say that I'm a reader before I'm a writer. It's because I truly enjoy seeing other, like reading somebody else's book and just being so passionate about it where I want to tell everyone else to go read it. I'm literally forcing it on people, like, stop what you're doing and read this book. And I feel like it's kind of that way when you read romance and you see people get together, you get to cheer them on. I was a cheerleader and I always say that's my cheerleading roots, but just to cheer the couple on, like, you made it, good job. Like, it just mm-hmm. makes me happy in a very kind of geeky way, you know?
Yes, I love this. It's like you're cheering them on through the process. You're like, you saw the journey, you saw the end result, and your end result is like, it's just gonna be happy. So so let's see. So what has it been like to write in the pandemic? You know, like, you have 4 kids, you have dogs, you have like all these different things, and you're still pulling books. So what has been the process like for you?
It really, this year has been really crazy. It's been crazy for all of us. I always feel like the pandemic started early for us. Mm-hmm. Our house burned down last December.
Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry.
And I feel like that kicked off this whole, like, it kind of gave me a preview of 2020. You know what I mean? Yeah. So between December and in February, our house burned down. We got robbed. Our dog passed away. We had to move to an apartment with 4 kids while we tried to figure out what we were going to do. And then I had to have an emergency surgery.
Oh, my God.
And so while I'm recovering, we were like, oh, we need to figure out how we're going to rebuild our home. Mm-hmm. And then the pandemic hit and we couldn't go anywhere. Mm-hmm. So then we moved. And so it's been a very big it's a very big mountain for me to climb this year to be able to get my head in a good space to write. But it has also been a relief in a way to write. And I think that that's part of why I write to begin with, is that it is an escape for me. And that's what I want it to be for my readers as well.
I love this. Yeah. I feel like it's like, I talk to authors a lot, and so I love hearing why they write and like what they get out of it. And so knowing that, you know, it's escape is something that's just going to be, you know, breather in the midst of all this craziness is a nice thing, because it shows in your books. They feel lighter, they feel like fun, you know, as opposed to, you know, this darkness, you know. So I'm glad you found an escape with writing.
For sure. It, that's what books are to me, you know, when I read as well. And that's just kind of what I want to be able to give my readers. I want to give them a reason to smile for the day. If their kids are driving them crazy, like mine probably are, or their husband's leaving all the cabinet doors open again, or, you know, things are happening, they can pick up a book and know that, you know, they're going to feel good. And to trust me to take them on that journey, that to be able to give somebody that reason to smile. So, you know, that's all I'm asking for.
I love this. So let's chat about series, because you have a couple of series. Did you plan the books beforehand, or knowing which couples are you going to be in, or did they just come to you as you write the books and the characters, how characters start to talk to you or try to figure out, like, I need a book, you know?
Well, when I first started doing series, my first series was the Landry family series. And I tried to go into it knowing exactly what was going to happen. And I learned really quickly that the characters would make other decisions and you sort of had to go with it. Because if I tried to push the book to go where I want it to go, I will inevitably come back to what the characters are saying, because it just becomes impossible to force them to do something that feels not organic. Mm-hmm. When I set up, say, the Mason series, I do know the characters and I generally know what their personalities would be. And I try to list some tropes that I think might match or be fun to play with their character profile. I usually do not know who they're going to, kind of match up with. I don't know, for example, Oliver will be, I'm writing Boone Mason now, which will be the third book in the Mason series, but Oliver will be next. And I have no idea who he's going to be with, but I know that by the time I get there, I will know. It'll kind of come to me. He was supposed to be the third book and Boone was supposed to be fourth, okay. But Boone was so loud in my brain. And so I knew that I had to deal with him first. It became obvious that no matter what I do, Boone's going to be, very, very loud. So I just kind of have to go with the flow. I have some ideas, but I try to let them sort of guide the way.
I love the Boone's coming next, because I feel like Boone needed, like, when I was reading Reputation, I was like, I want you to know about Boone and his side hustle of, like, helping the family out and his way of doing things. And then I just read the scene with Oliver. I think it was Oliver calling, basically. No, it was Holt. Sorry. I confused him. Holt calling Coy about, like, his stuff. But I was like, oh, my gosh. But, yeah, I think Boone needs the next book. So I'm excited he's going to be the next one. So.
He's very loud. And like I said, it wasn't planned, but I think I spent some time with him in the relationship pact. Mm-hmm. He's in that book quite a bit because he's good friends with Larissa and Bellamy both. And he just got louder and his personality more pronounced to me. And he's the one that really is sort of in the forefront. So he's muscled his way to the front of the line.
I love this. So talk to us about Reputation. What is it all about? What trope it is, which couple we're talking about. I'm already almost done with the book, but to the audience who have not read it, I have not picked it up because it's a brand new release.
Well, Reputation is about Coy Mason, and he's the fourth out of five of the Mason brothers. And he's a country music singer that has sort of had a little PR situation. And so he's back home with his mom and dad, just hanging out for a while until all of his business matters get sorted out. And his parents live next door to the Davenports, and Bellamy Davenport and Coy and Coy's brother Boone, and they were best friends growing up. And Bellamy is staying at her dad's guest house because her father is sick. And so she sort of had to put her life on hold to take care of her father. And so she hates Coy with a passion. Mm-hmm. And Coy doesn't really, he's sort of so out of touch with his real life that he doesn't even know if she really does, or if she's just sort of, they have this snarkiness between the two of them. And he kind of thinks she's just playing at first. And so this story is sort of about finding balance between vulnerability and strength. Bellamy thinks she has to be really strong and completely rule out vulnerability in order to sort of survive in her world. Where Coy's kind of the other way, sort of been very vulnerable and kind of got himself into some situations by trusting too much. And he needs to learn how to sort of be stronger and to really take control of his own life, where Bellamy's over here struggling, managing everything. Mm-hmm. And so they both find out that the story kind of revolves around the idea of having to find the middle ground between the two, that you can't be so strong that you forget to be open, but you can't be so open that you don't direct, you don't create the life that you're meant to live. Mm-hmm. And so they sort of find that together and overcome some things that they've been through separately and together.
I love this. Yeah, I have to say, like, this was just, like, such a treat, because this story was teased in the Relationship Pact, which is the book that's not in the Mason's family, but it's a different series, but they'll, it's a Mason family part of it. It just end. And so I was just like, I was eager to see why Bellamy hated Coy and like, how did Coy actually manage Bellamy, you know, with her hatred. And so I, this book does dive into why and like the whole process and relationship with me. And so I'm rooting for them to have a happily ever after.
They were really fun to write. And that story, like we were talking earlier about how much do I know kind of going in or when I'm setting up a series, this story was supposed to be a light rom-com. It was just supposed to be fun and funny and flirty. And I'm sort of writing and Bellamy, you know, they're talking about Bellamy's dad being sick. And I literally sat back in my chair and I looked at the screen. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, this is not a part of the story. If her dad is sick, I'm going to have to deal with that. And that's going to bring a whole nother angle into the story that I didn't anticipate. And it really became sort of a big part of the plot, her father's illness. And I didn't expect it. So, but it's fun. It's fun for me when the characters are so alive in your mind that you can trust them to sort of guide you along. It really makes writing certain books special when that happens, because it doesn't always happen for me.
Interesting. So let's talk about Relationship Pact, which is a part of a trilogy with other two authors, which I thought that was really unique, which was really cool because you just got to discover new authors. But what was the process like as an author to make this series happen?
It was amazing. Like, it was so wonderful to be able to work with Megan Quinn and Ilsa Madden Mills. They are both so talented and so brilliant. And I had such imposter syndrome working with them. They're just wonderful. And to be able to sort of plot out, you know, how our books are going to interconnect and you know, everything from the plots to the branding of the series, to watch how they approach storytelling. It was very, very enlightening and just so much fun. You know, writing is such a solitary thing. You just kind of sit by yourself and you spend your time with people who really aren't there. And so to be able to sort of bring in a social aspect to writing was a true treat. And I'm really, I was excited to work with them, and it was just even more than I expected or ever hoped that it would be.
I love this. I found it was really cool just to see like three different authors, and you're within the same storyline, but they're different side of, you know, stories, but they're all interconnected. And I was like, I'm curious. And it was just like fun to see, like, I discovered you because I read Ilsa Madden Mills before. And I was like, oh, there's this other book. And I was like, let me see what it's all about. And it was Fake Relationship, which is like catnip for me. So I was like, let me just read it. And then I was like, oh my gosh, I got a backlist to go dive into it. So it is like, I think it's like such a smart idea, like, you know, just from a marketing perspective for new readers to discover you.
It was so much fun. If the readers don't know, the connection between the three books are they're three football players on a football team, and they're seniors, and they've sort of just ruined their senior year. They were supposed to be like the number one team in the nation, and they ended up like winning three games, and they're just horrible. So Ilsa wrote about River, and Megan wrote about a character named Crew, and I wrote about the tight end named Hollis. And these three guys are really best friends. They live together. They've played together for 4 years. They're really, really close, but they're all in bad headspaces because they've just bombed this season. Mm-hmm. And so Christmas break is approaching, and they're all kind of going their separate ways for the holiday, trying to get their lives together because mm-hmm. they don't know now what they're going to do. And so we sort of took that idea as a starting point and wrote their three. At the end of the prologue, it says there are three stories to tell, and that's what we did. And it was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun. I felt for Hollis. Like, I felt for his story of like why he was a Savannah, like the whole point of like, you know, not having a family and just being like, well, I'm just going to spend some time and then finding a family in Savannah, you know, not just finding love, but finding a family, finding a community, something that I think he was struggling with, like at the end of senior year, that he was going to lose his crew. Like mm-hmm. he was able to just get that place of like finding Judy, finding Larissa, finding CG, you know? So like all these different people coming in together for him.
He totally did. And Judy actually, so there's a character named Judy, and she owns a little kind of diner gift shop type of thing in Savannah. And Grandma Judy is based off of my aunt, one of my mother's sisters named Judy. And she has found that to be hysterical. She's 76, I think. And she read the book and she thinks it is. She was really worried at first. She was like, I don't know if I like this idea. And I'm like, no, they're going to love you. I promise. And so she read it and she now thinks she's like locally famous now. All of her friends are like, what's the book that Judy's in? So it's kind of adorable that these ladies are sitting around knitting, reading this, you know, contemporary romance. It just kind of cracks me up.
I love this. I love Grandma Judy. Like, she was like such a spitfire and she was like, I'm not going to charge you. You're my grandson, you know, like it was like this unconditional love, like right away. So I love this. So let's talk about tropes. What is your favorite trope to read and what's your favorite trope to write?
If given any trope, I love to write as a good angsty second chance romance. I mostly write series books and I normally keep my series books lighter, you know, funner, sort of more on the side of light rather than angst. Doesn't mean you're not going to get some angst, but it's not going to be really heavy. Mm-hmm. But my standalones have more angst and I have three, Sacrifice, Written in the Scars, and Wherever It Leads. And they're both angstier by far. Mm-hmm. And those are the books that really, like, if I can just lose myself in writing one of those, that's my dream. It takes a lot out of me to write a book like Sacrifice, but that's my, that makes me really happy.
So what kind of self-care do you do when you're writing super angsty books? Like, because I know that takes a lot of emotion. It's like an emotional heartbreak, you're going through turmoil. So do you do any self-care? Like, how do you manage, you know?
I warn everyone in my life that I'm writing this book and I just try to give myself the space to do it. I don't write them often. Mm-hmm. I haven't written an angsty standalone in probably 3 years, mm-hmm. but I do have one on the calendar this year, but I have to be in the right space mentally and emotionally to do it. And I really haven't been since Written in the Scars, but I think this is going to be the year if when it gets to the time on my calendar, then I will write it. But if I know that I'm not in a place to be able to really give it its due diligence and to be able to survive it myself, which sounds so dramatic, then I won't write it and I'll go on to something else and circle back. But I think it's important because those books really do take a lot of my soul.
Did you? And you know, how is he? Just take it a day at a time, you know? See where this year lets you, because, you know, 2020 was a heartbreaker. Yeah. So let's see what 2021 can bring you. Yeah.
I hope it, my word, I don't do New Year's resolutions because I will break them on New Year's Day. Yeah. Because I'm like one of those people where, like, if I tell myself you're going to do that, I'm not going to do it intentionally. I'm like a self-sabotage kind of like that. But I pick a word out every year and I try to really guide my year based on that word. And this year's word is intentional. I want everything to be done with intent. So if I get to the spot where I feel like I can do it, then and do it, you know, with intent and do it correctly, then I will do that.
I love this. So let's try some books. So who are your autobuy authors? Which authors can write your grocery list and you're like, I'm buying your next book. It doesn't matter what they're writing. I'm just going to buy their books.
A new one for me is Jessica Hawkins. I found her this year and I love her stuff. She writes angst and just like heartbreak and it's wonderful. And I will one click Jana Austen, like I'll just pre-order. I won't even look. her rom-com, I call her like the queen of rom-com. Her rom-coms, her heroines are, which is hysterical because I feel like in romance, it's always about the hero and the hero can screw up a million different ways and we forgive them. It's the heroine that always you have to be very careful with. She writes the best heroines ever. Mm-hmm. I like to tell myself that if Julian Edelman, who's my like little like crush, would walk in the door that I would be super cool about it, but I know that I would be like having all these internal thoughts. And Jana captures those quirky, like real, not necessarily pretty but hysterical if it's not you, thoughts in her heroines, and I just love them. I love them so much. And I will one click Chrissy Bromberg and never like, never regret it. And Emily Goodwin, I found her recently too. She writes family series and some paranormal stuff, which I don't read her. I don't read paranormal, but her family series, they're so good. I really like her writing as well.
I'm so excited to dive into Emily's stuff because I think I own quite a few of her books, but I've not dive into it, but you're adding them to the TBR. I love Jana. I think I remember reading wrong, and I still to this day, every time I go to the doctor's office, I have to think about whether I have to wear socks or not. Just think about her book and internal dialogue about that.
Jana is so amazing. Like when I read her for the heroine, which I cannot say about any other author in romance. They're just, you read them and they're hysterical because it's not you, but that's exactly what you'd be saying. And if it was you, you'd be mortified. So you understand why she is, but it's so funny because it's not you.
It is so funny. So, oh, and Jessica Hawkins, she reads Somewhere in the Way, the trilogy of four book series.
I have not. The one that I read over the summer, right before we moved, was the Cityscape trilogy. Ooh. And have you read that?
No, I have not. Tell me.
I'm going to warn you that David Dillon, I have called him. Like, he's so good. Like, I have goosebumps just saying his name. That's how good he is. I will scroll on Facebook and I see someone mention David Dillon and I stop and I'm like, yeah, what are we talking about? Like, I don't even care whose group it is. I don't care that the conversation did not include me. I will elbow my way into that conversation.
I love this so much. Yes. Yeah, so Somewhere in the Way is love triangle, childhood romance, super long. Like, it's angsty. It's like, They meet when she's really young. It's age gap. And there's an age gap. So they meet when she's really young. And he ends up with a sister. And it's just like so angsty, but so good. So there's like four books. It originally was going to be a trilogy, but I guess people wanted another book about them together. So there's a book about them together. But there's like four books in the series. So it's just so angsty.
I can see those covers. They're like the light purple.
Yeah.
Lavender sort of. Yeah,
they're lavender. They're very like, you just assume they're just gonna be like, you know, a fine romance, like nothing major. And then you read, you're like, this is so angsty.
Well, after reading Cityscape, I would go into any Jessica Hawken book now with a level of skepticism about how easy this is going to be. Yep. Because it's not. She breaks your heart and, oh, it's such a good heartbreak.
So what has been a book that you read this past year that you can't stop gushing about?
The Cityscape trilogy. Yeah, that was so good. And I literally thought about that book forever. And it's a trilogy, so the three. But also, Danielle Allen, I read a couple of her books this year. Mm-hmm. I think Sweatpants Season, and I just read Truth or Dare. And she is a really good writer. I really enjoy her books a lot. And I also read 44 Chapters About Four Men by B.B. Easton. Which is not like, it's not really a romance, but it's obsessive. So it's going to be a Netflix series, and it is the perfect book to be, well, it's a whole series, but I didn't read the others. I can completely understand why. It's going to be phenomenal. Like, it has to, like, because it plays like a movie when you read it. It's so good. Like, I really, really, I really enjoyed that one too.
I love this. Yeah, I think I have an arc of the 44 chapters. It's somewhere in the list of things. Because it was like, I think I have an arc for it. So maybe I'll add it to the TBR before it comes to Netflix. So.
Oh, you have to. Like, everyone should read it because it is so good. And it's so different. Like, I went into it not sure, like, what it was, because it's like an autobiography. And I'm like, I love B.B. Easton. Like, she's so wonderful and, like, lovely in real life. And I'm like, I don't know if I want to read this, because what if I think that she's, like, what if it's not what I think it is, you know? Mm-hmm. It's so good. It's hysterical. There's some romance in there. Her writing is just, it's so good. It's like watching Sex in the City or something. It's so good.
Okay, you slow me at that. So. Awesome. So tell us where I can buy your books.
All of my books are on Amazon and in Kindle Unlimited. So they're all there, but I have one of my novels is not in Kindle Unlimited, and you can buy it on I think iBooks and Barnes and Noble, but you can get it for free on my website. It's a full length standalone, so there's no need to go buy it. It's called Lucky Number 11. Okay. It's a football romance. So if you want that one, you're like, it's not in KU, just go get it on my website.
Thank you. And tell us where I can find you online.
I'm everywhere. I'm on, I love Instagram. You get more of like my real life on Instagram. I'm on Facebook, Goodreads, Twitter, but I try to stay away from that because it's usually a dumpster fire. Okay. And I have a Facebook group, Books by Adriana Locke, and a Goodreads group all locked up, but that's wonky because they need to fix their groups over there. So if you are there, I'm probably there too, except for Tinder because I'm married.
I understand. So thank you, Adriana, for being on the show.
Well, thank you for bringing me on and talking to me today. I really had a good time and I appreciate it.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support this podcast. Once you connect with fellow romance readers and make new friends, get weekly book recommendations, attend monthly meetups, then join our Patreon community. You can join at whatreadnextblog.com/Patreon. Romance lovers, check out Queen Bee Reads Etsy shop for cute and comfortable bookish apparel. The shop also features social justice apparel and fun items from some of your favorite TV shows like The Schitt's Creek and The Office. Use code WHATTORead10 to save. Visit whatreadnextblog.com/queenbeereads. What to Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Discover new podcasts to love on frolic.media/podcast. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatreadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.